Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. And today we're going to be talking about stuff, guy stuff in particular, and in particular, a recent DC animated movie that was released. I'm talking about, Mark, The Killing Joke.
Yes, sir. I watched it the other day.
They did a special thing through Fathom Events where it was released on a Tuesday, and that Monday night it was in theaters. Mm-hmm. So I actually went to Greenville and watched it in the theater. They had a special thing before. They had a special thing afterwards. And it was... I was really surprised. I mean, the theater was not quite half full. Mm-hmm. But let's first talk about, excuse me for this giant assumption. You've read The Killing Joke, correct?
Oh, yeah, several times over the years.
If you're not familiar with DC Comics, The Killing Joke, a graphic novel, typically a lot of these works, it was just a standalone book. Mm-hmm. And I just remember as a kid coming in, and it wasn't in the regular comic book section. It was kind of off by itself, and it's just Joker holding a camera. It's like, Killing Joke, what is this? And so I just didn't get it. And then as you get older, you're like, this is like must read by Alan Moore, who's just author of Watchmen and did a lot of Swamp Thing stuff. Yeah. And just
Swamp, if you've never read his... I forget the name of it, but it's when he rebooted Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
It's such a good, like, Origin of Species or something like that. I can't remember the name of the book. But I've got the graphic novel at home when he first started his run, where he kind of redid the origin story of Swamp Thing. Oh, it's just incredible, man. It's great. And Watchmen, one of my favorites.
Yeah. But Killing Joke as a graphic novel, again, a lot of these stories a lot of times are out of continuity, but spoiler alert. In Killing Joke, Joker shoots Barbara Gordon. She's paralyzed, and that played into the regular continuity.
Right.
She becomes Oracle. And up until recently, I guess, I don't know what's happened. Somehow, she's back. She's Batgirl again. I don't know how all that works.
That rebirth stuff.
This was a little bit before rebirth.
Oh, was it?
Now, I was curious. This was a rated R, the first rated R DC animated movie. And it had, this is a comic, to do it justice, had to be rated R.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't really see anything that was...
I agree.
You know?
But I would not let my son read The Killing Joke. And I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't let him. Just because of there's a lot of implied nudity.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty disturbing, especially when they're trying to make Jim Gordon snap. So, the movie... is not different. The movie, I think, for the most part, is very faithful to the book, except they add kind of a first 20 or 30 minutes that to me added depth to the story.
Right.
What were your thoughts of that additional the beginning?
It was fine. I mean, really, I don't have any. I never have a problem with that kind of stuff.
So if you haven't seen the movie, the first they add, basically it's Batgirl, and it's Barbara Gordon learning to be Batgirl and managing her job as a librarian, and
managing her job as a librarian.
And so that's Batman, like any man, you got a girl dressed up as Batgirl and she's a librarian. Uh-huh. So obviously Batman, they tease the tension.
Mm-hmm.
Batman and Batgirl get it on a rooftop.
Yeah.
That caught me way off guard.
Mm-hmm.
wasn't expecting that, although that did happen in the comic book, I found out, at some point.
Yeah. It makes sense that it would.
But they
you think they left the suits on while they did it?
Didn't she take her mask off? Or did she leave her mask on?
See, I would think that the whole fun would be leaving the suit on.
I'm just gonna be honest. Every time, even when Batman and Talia make little Damien back in Son of the Demon is the name of the graphic novel. And she takes his cowl off, and she takes his top off, and he jumps into bed, and he's still got his Batman pants on. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen Batman. I mean, and Batman is a ladies' man. He's for lack of a better term, he's a womanizer.
Uh-huh.
But he's always wearing pants.
Yeah. Well, you can't really draw him naked.
Don't know how. Well, you know. Anyway. But they do that to me, that... you didn't need that in the book, but for the movie to give it the length and depth it needed, I thought that aspect of the story really added to the movie. So if you don't know anything about The Killing Joke, we're just going to tell you. Basically,
we're just going to tell you. Spoiler alert.
So there's two parallel stories going on. One is the origin of the Joker, and the other is... Joker's just—he is trying to make Jim Gordon snap, and he's trying to make Batman snap by making Jim Gordon snap. He does that by shooting Barbara Gordon and then taking pictures of her in states of undress, wounded, and just torturing Jim Gordon with those images and physical torture and just craziness. You talked about on the episode talking about your vacation, you talked about all these horror houses you went through. Would you go through the Joker's horror house?
Oh, I think it'd be awesome, man.
Okay. Even with the little, whatever those are, the trolls or whatever, with the sharpened teeth. You think that would...
You talking about for real?
I'm talking about for real.
In real life, the Joker's trying to kill me. Would I want to go into that house? No, probably not.
I'm talking about he's not going to kill. I'm talking about if they made that a ride.
Then why wouldn't I? I went through the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween and Twisty the Clown and The Exorcist.
But those aren't real people.
Yeah, neither is the Joker. I hate to break it to you. You know Batman's not real, right?
Kayfabe, baby, kayfabe. So anyway, and then if you don't know the joke, when they redone Batman, they did the new 52. They've kind of redone the Joker's origin story. But I love the Killing Joke origin story because it makes sense. Of what would it take for a guy to snap?
Right.
Mentally, physically, emotionally. And the deal is he's got a pregnant wife. He needs money. He's not making it as a comedian. And he does, you know, they're doing the Red Hood gang. And they just need him to wear the hood, get him into this place. Right before, what's he find out? He's going to do this job, and what's he finding?
His wife's dead. They killed his wife.
His wife gets electrocuted.
Yeah.
And his wife dies. The baby dies. And he's still got to go do this job because when you sign up, I don't know if you know this, when you sign up with the mob to do a job, the job's going to get done. They go in there. Batman thwarts their plans. And this guy... who is still unnamed, falls into a vat of acid. And is forever changed.
Yeah.
If you've seen the 1989 Batman, Tim Burton, they do a very good job of kind of showing all this.
Yeah, kind of bringing that in.
Oh, dear. So in the new 52, right before Rebirth, Batman gets on. He's what's the guy's name? Morpheus? No, the guy with the chair of knowledge. I'm sure that's not what it's called. But Batman learns who the Joker is, And the only response is, that's not possible. And so now the rumor is that there are like three Jokers.
Well, it's not a rumor. He said it, right?
I don't know.
We talked about it on one of our shows.
Did we?
Like he told Green Lantern there were three Jokers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but they haven't played that out yet.
I was going to ask you about that because I, as we talked about on the other show, like from July, August, and September, I was working all the time, so I haven't read any comics.
Yeah,
I got into the Rebirth thing, and then
life.
And then life happened. I got to go get caught back up. But
yeah,
so I didn't know if I was going to ask you that. What's been going on with him?
Some of the Rebirth stories have been really good.
I'm sure.
They just did a thing. So, anyway, Killing Joke's great. There's a link to buy it in our show notes. The movie's great. Because I want to get into the Rebirth a little bit. So, the end of the movie, what did you think of the end of the movie?
I mean, it happened exactly like I thought it was going to happen.
Right. The movie ends the exact same way as the book.
Right.
When I was in the theater and the movie ends, everybody's like, what was that? And I'm like, they obviously
you missed
hadn't
the point.
Read the book.
Right.
And, but anyway, it's
like
great.
That's the Killing Joke.
This is how good
he got. Like the point of the book, all of that other stuff is fine. He made Batman laugh.
Yes,
and he had never told a funny joke before. That was the whole. Like nobody laughed at his joke.
Yeah,
and he made his greatest his nemesis. He made him laugh.
Yeah, and I think this book, this movie, just shows that relationship between Batman and Joker in such a perfect way. This movie's so good. I paid to see it in the theater and then ordered it on iTunes that night. And it downloaded the next day.
You know another good movie?
What's that?
That I watched just yesterday or day before yesterday.
What's that?
Beauty and the Beast. Great movie. I love it. I've been on a Disney movie kick. I don't care what nobody says. Beauty and the Beast is a phenomenal.
How many Disney movies did you buy?
I don't know. I mean, I would be.
But you paid more for them there.
I would be embarrassed to tell you. I mean, I didn't pay. I didn't buy them there, and I actually have bought a lot of them, like secondhand. Like I would go to secondhand stores. Even then,
Like how much? There's like a certain diamond edition of the old VHSs that are worth thousands.
Yeah,
of dollars.
My grandmother has most of those.
You know, Mark, you and I have been working on a plan. Step one, record a podcast.
Uh-huh.
Step two, we don't know. Step three, profit.
Right.
And what you're telling me is that you can get us to step three.
Yeah, I don't know that she has all of the diamond editions, but I know that when they used to come out on VHS, she would go buy them that week.
Because they made you think, like, this is the only time you're ever, there's going to be like a week.
Because that's what they do. I mean, they still do that. It's
right.
They have the Disney Vault. They just released Snow White.
Yeah.
And they release a limited run of them. They don't continue to produce them, and when it's done, it goes back in the vault for 7 years. Because I'm looking for the Lion King right now and can't find it, and it just came out of the vault like 6 months ago, and they're sold out.
I bet Pauline's place has it.
She might. I've been wanting to ride over there.
I've got Lion King on.
Well, I've got the VHS.
I got the Blu-ray.
Oh, do you?
But I don't. I bought the Blu-ray when my children were maybe a little too young for Blu-rays, and so it's probably gumped in bubble gum and various. Disarray.
But I bought Beauty and the Beast, Snow White, Bambi.
Have you seen the pictures for the live version of Beauty and the Beast?
No, but I did see, I watched, and this is where a lot of our fascination with Disney came from. We went and saw the new Jungle Book.
Yeah.
When it came out, and we're just blown away, and like it kind of sparked this interest in those movies again for us. And they're doing a live action Lion King.
Yeah, Jon Favreau,
the guy who did Jungle Book, is doing the new Lion King. But I've seen pictures of Emma Watson as Belle.
Could they have casted that any more perfectly?
I don't think so. My wife and I were just talking about that. She said, you know, everybody really likes her and this and that and the other. And I compared her to Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah.
that I really think that's why everybody likes her. That she has something that not a lot of these girls have. You don't see pictures of her dressed like a slut. You don't hear these stories about her. I mean, you know, you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
But she's got class.
Yeah.
And she's pretty and she's got class.
Yeah.
And she carries herself very well in public, and you don't hear these stories about her.
Probably because she didn't grow up working for Disney.
True. This is true.
So back to the Rebirth. They're doing this thing where even before Rebirth a little bit, there is this guy in a hood with a staff. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of watching everything. And he is this mystery character, and you don't really know what his role is. You don't really know what he's doing. There's a lot of speculation.
A lot of ins and outs and what have yous.
Yes. A lot of speculation that he is Osmani Mas, whatever that guy's name is, from Watchmen. That Ozymandias? No.
Ozymandias.
Yeah, sure. That it's that guy from Watchmen, and they just did this thing with... Matter of fact, I started reading Batman, and it referred to something that I had not seen, and it gives you the little thing, hey, this happened in this issue. I had to go back and read, I think it was Detective Comics, and the last few pages of that comic were so powerful. I don't want to spoil it. So powerful of an event, and you're thinking, oh, I cannot believe what just happened. And then you turn the page, and it's not what you thought it was.
This is the new one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Turn the page. Well, you can tell me. I don't care.
So,
I mean, if you don't,
spoiler alert. So what's happened is Batman is building a team, and he's got Red Robin, which is Tim Drake. He's got, you know, Damian. He's got Batwoman. And he's recruited Batwoman to help him train this team. Well, you find out Batwoman's dad is this colonel. And he had been raising his daughter to be this super soldier. But what he's been doing, unbeknownst to the U.S. government, is basically they have been watching Batman for years. And they have been training an entire army of people, of Batman. And that's what they've been doing. So they're coming and they're trying to take over Gotham. And he's trying to convince this colonel's, I guess it's a colonel, he's trying to convince Batwoman to join him. And so there's this tug. Well, in this process, there are all these drones attacking various places in Gotham City. And Batman and his team are trying to protect the city. And somehow Red Robin hacks into the system and makes himself the target of all the drones. So the first wave of drones comes, and he takes them out, and he's about dead. And then he realizes that's just the first wave. And so this wave of drones is coming, and he knows this is it. And he's like, he starts saying his goodbyes to everybody. And you just see him get, and you're like, I mean, it is like
it's moments like that. I wish we were shooting video.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, you're sitting there and you're like, because there what's been happening is Tim Drake is dating a girl named Spoiler, who had been Batgirl at one point, and he had just decided he was going to quit being Robin.
Of course he did. Like, that should have been your first hint that something bad was going to happen. And he's fallen in love and decided that he's going to leave this behind.
But he's decided that his purpose in life is to go to school and get a certain degree, and then that's how he's going to change the world. And Bruce thinks, so there's tension because Bruce thinks, yeah, man, Tim's decided this is... He's going to be Robin forever, man. And this is, you know, he's going to lead my team and he's going to be next. And Stephanie, who's a Spoiler, is like, nah, man, she shows him like his acceptance letter to school. But anyway, so the panel ends and you just see Robin just blowing up and you're like, and you just see everybody's reaction.
Right.
And they're like, then you turn the page and Tim is in this cage. in this like glass cage, and he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! What just happened? What just happened?" And that man in the hood's there, and basically says, "It's not your time, and you're a big part of this of what's about to happen." He's like, "Who are you? What's going on?" And so you realize that. So for me, this is, it's now ratcheted up that this guy's not just watching; he is interacting now with the characters, and so now I'm a couple weeks behind myself, but. I've been reading Batman, Detective Comics, Justice League. They just started a series called Trinity, which is about Batman. Because the Superman died. Mm-hmm. And the Superman that's on Earth now is a Superman who's married to Lois and has a son. Where the Superman that died was single, was, you know, knocking up Wonder Woman or whatever. Not knocking her up. They were doing the deed.
Yeah.
You know. Having sex.
Yeah.
Some people may not understand my lingo.
Heels up to Jesus.
Whatever the... never heard it referred to as that. But anyway, so it's just good. It's a very captivating story.
Horizontal tango, if you will.
Yes, yes. Get it on like Donkey Kong. Now, Marvel Civil War II, I've been reading that, and... I'm just not feeling it.
Nah, me either. I quit reading it.
Yeah, I got to get caught back up on the Captain America, Steve Rogers, and what's...
Yeah, me too. I like it really, man. Once I started working overtime, getting ready for vacation, I didn't have time to do anything else.
So how many chair shots would you give Killing Joke?
It was 3 out of 5. I mean, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I don't think it was, you know. I enjoyed the book better than the movie, I think. I liked the reading of the comic.
Yes.
I mean, I give the comic 5 out of 5.
Right.
The movie, 3.5, 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
It was good. It's worth watching.
Yeah, the experience at the theater was really good because they showed you Mark Hamill getting into character and him doing some of the Joker voice, and there's a song that he does. So, yeah, it was cool seeing some of that, you know, on picture. I agree with you. 3 out of 5 stars. It's not the greatest thing I've ever seen, but I mean, if you're a comic book connoisseur, if you're a Batman fan, it's a must-have for your collection for your library. And DC Animation continues to knock it out of the park. The rumor is, I think you may have texted me, but I've heard that there's a possibility of doing Hush, which would buy Court of Owls, Night of Owls. If they did Hush, I would go to Walmart at midnight. Buy that.
Yeah, I'd like to see.
No questions asked.
Under the Red Hood, Batman Under the Red Hood is a really good one. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I probably liked it better than the Killing Joke.
See, Under the Red Hood, though, and again, this is just something they have to do. The way they brought Jason Todd back in the comic was so confusing and part of such a bigger picture that I liked the movie better. Because it was a little more realistic that they bring a guy back from the dead.
Right.
So, anyway, if you're listening to this, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on The Killing Joke, or, hey, maybe there's a movie that we've missed. I've seen, you know, most of the DC, the Justice League movies animated, which are awesome. Maybe there's a DC movie. Maybe I haven't watched a lot of the Marvel animated, but maybe there's one of those we need to check out.
Good.
No, they're
not. I haven't
seen
any of them that were.
There's one that's like Thor and Loki, and it's not. It's just like moving still pictures,
right?
And somebody talking, and it just sucked. I think I saw that on Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, have you watched any of Luke Cage yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Me either. I'm sure we'll be.
I had one day off. That was yesterday, and I pressure washed my house.
There you go. You're working man, Swigger, Swigger rock star for the working man.
So no, I haven't.
All right, so, hey, DoubleDropKick.com is our website. You can download this podcast from the website. You can download it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, the Tuned In Radio app, Google Play. The best thing for you to do, okay, is subscribe. Hit the subscribe button, and then you won't miss anything. Every week, it's going to be delivered. Matter of fact, we're getting to a point, our goal is to release... more than one episode a week to release videos. You need to go to our YouTube page. you need to subscribe to that, because you're going to get information and videos there that you're not going to get on the podcast, because we are going to be, quite frankly, we don't cover breaking news on the podcast. That's not, everybody does that. But we are going to be shooting 5 to 10 minute videos once or twice a week on the breaking news, because we know your week is not complete without our thoughts on breaking news. So we're on Facebook. You need to go like our page, The Double Dropkick Show. We also have a group where we discuss everything. That's the wrestling you grew up with. Also, if you're in upstate South Carolina, I want to go ahead and tell you, Three Count Pro Wrestling is going to be at Calvary First Baptist Church on November the 19th. This is a fundraising show. We're on the road to our big show, Country Santa Clash 4, and I can announce publicly now that on December 3rd, Liberty High School, we're going to be offering something that, to my knowledge, I don't know that they've done it at Fan Fest or other places recently in the last few years. Maybe they have. Maybe they did this year. I just didn't know about it. You can get, okay, we're going to be selling VIP tickets. You can have your picture made with Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff and the U.S. title belt. That's going to be our VIP experience at Country Santa Clash.
Who's bringing the U.S. title?
The word on the street is that Nikita is bringing a U.S. title belt.
Okay.
Our good friend Roger Gleaton, who we rent our ring from, also has a U.S. title. So anyway, okay, it'll be the one that he and Magnum fought over. I'd love to get that old silver U.S. title. Yeah. You know what I loved is when you had the world title was gold, and the U.S. title was silver.
Uh-huh.
And I would have loved if the TV title had been bronze. You know, that would have made sense to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, 3countpro.com is the website where you can keep up with all the news if you want to listen to the two greatest commentators in wrestling history. You can listen to Heath Mullick and Mark Whitman with the call. And we're going to be releasing some more 3Count videos here upcoming. I think that's it. Twitter, @ Heath Mullican.
@ the DDK Show.
Mark's tired. It's lunchtime. We got a great day of recording ahead of us. Not to mention, just a lot of great stuff happening. It's a great day to be alive. And, hey, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mullican.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.